Good morning, Steve Brown.
Good morning.
So what law or laws govern the rights of transgender students in public schools?
Well, there are federal and state laws that generally ban sex discrimination in schools, also laws that ban sexual orientation discrimination. Courts and public officials have generally been interpreting these laws to provide protection to students who are transgendered. For example, just last year, the United States Department of Education Office of Civil Rights issued a public letter in which it said that the federal law banning sex discrimination in educational activities applied to protect students who are transgendered. And as a general rule, this opinion said schools must accommodate the student based on what he or she considers his or her gender identity.
So what does that mean, accommodate?
Well, it varies on, depending on what you're talking about. Teachers and others should respect the student's gender identity, call them by the name that they want to be called by. It can affect, obviously, the hot button issue of where they go to the bathroom, perhaps what classes they take. But again, the general rule is you abide by the student's preference.
Now, we've seen controversy recently in Warwick over a transgender student using the girls' locker room. And that's not the only school in Rhode Island that's had a transgender student. There have been out trans students in Pawtucket, Cherokee, and Paunagansett, just to name a few. Steve Brown, one of the questions that's been coming up has to do with the locker rooms. What happens in the locker rooms? Can the schools guarantee privacy for all of the students in these situations?
Yeah, well, that issue does crop up a lot, and I think there are a few answers to it. First, I think it's important to think back 10, 15 years when the same concerns were being expressed when laws were being passed banning discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Gays or lesbians, not only in school. I mean, I'm sure you recall the debates about allowing gay and lesbians in the military. How would that work out? They're working close together. They often are, you know, in intimate contact with each other. And over time, you know, those arguments have really disappeared. They found there really was nothing to worry about. And I think we'll see the same thing with this. In terms of privacy, it's our view, and I think the view of many others who work on these issues, that you want to accommodate privacy if you're in a private area, whether it's a locker room or a bathroom. And there are different ways to do that. And it's sort of irrelevant to whether you're dealing with transgender students. If a student of whatever sexual orientation or gender identity is interested in privacy, then the school ought to make some accommodations, privacy curtains, or whatever is appropriate.
And if there are other students who are made to feel uncomfortable by the presence of a trans student in, say, the locker room or the bathroom, I've heard parents and some other residents in this Warwick dispute complain that you're sacrificing the rights of the many, essentially, in order to protect the rights of the one student.
Well, I think that's just false as a matter of fact. I mean, you do hear it from parents. I think what's been really heartening is that the students at these schools and the schools themselves have been very accommodating. You know, all the objections and outrage you've been hearing have not been coming from the students who are actually the ones dealing with this friend. They've been very welcoming. What you have are these just sort of fears from people who actually aren't dealing with it. And so I think it's just really overblown when I hear those concerns, because what I have seen is that the students have been very welcoming and very accommodating to the trans students who are there going to school with.
Has there been any guidance coming out of the Rhode Island Department of Education as far as how schools should interpret the law and the state law, the state's non-discrimination law?
Yeah. It's my understanding that there has been some informal guidance provided by department officials over the years, but there is no formal guidance, and that's something we will be urging the department to adopt at this point in light of all the issues that are cropping up around school districts. We know that there was a committee to come up with a policy over a year and a half ago. And, you know, the time has come for the department to really address this issue and provide clear guidance to school districts. You know, just a few weeks ago, Cumberland School District, to its credit, became the first in the state to adopt a local policy. There are lots of model policies out there. We think it would be very easy for the Department of Education to adopt something formally that would provide guidance to every school district in the state, and that's what we'll be encouraging them to do at this point.
And I should say that I've spoken to officials at the Rhode Island Department of Education, and they tell me that they're working on it and it's going to be coming out soon, that guidance.
Okay. Well, sooner rather than later is the important key at this point.
Well, Steve Brown is the executive director of the Rhode Island chapter of the ACLU. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Education reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant by the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation, and New England Institute of Technology's Center for Technology and Industry.